lots of time to think about trials and temptations that are ours. Jesus gives the example, and he comes through on the other side without blame. And that perhaps is what it's all about, is an encouragement for us to do the same. I sometimes have heard that Jesus' temptation was about God. God was waiting to see if Jesus would do what was required of him. God is up there scratching his head saying, I don't know if Jesus is going to be able to pull this one off. I gotta say, I don't think that's what it's all about. Sometimes I wonder if the Spirit was with Jesus in baptism, and it was inside of him, filled him, and the voice from heaven, the voice from God said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus heard that. So then why would God just throw him out and say, okay, do your best, boy? I don't think that's how it goes. I'm going with the idea that this story, as brief as it is really about us, about the kinds of things that happen in our lives. We're the ones who really face temptations and trials, and we're not always prepared for it. We're the ones who all too often ignore what has been given to us in baptism, that we have been named and claimed by the Lord. And that promise is certain, it's true. And we got that going for us. The testing of Jesus takes place in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where God does test. God does bring trials. In the wilderness for 40 days, the Hebrews wandered before they entered into the promised land. It rained 40 days and 40 nights to wipe clean the slate and give Noah the opportunity with a promise, with the promise to start again and the promise of the bow, the rainbow laid up in heaven. 40 days, Jesus is in the wilderness, tempted by the Satan. And we here now have 40 days of Lent. Now, if you count them all, it doesn't really work out because we don't include Sundays. But every other day is a day that we walk with Jesus to the cross. All too often we ignore what that really means for us. And this season, the season of Lent, we can focus primarily on our wilderness experiences, the barren places in our lives, that the places of trial and the places of temptation that may make us turn away from those promises, turn away from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Places of trial and temptation where we're given the opportunity to say yes to God and no to everything that would prevent us from following him. We can lay our sins. This is the effort for us. We can lay our sins at the cross. We can lay our lack of trust and our hope at the feet of the cross, praying for forgiveness and looking forward to the resurrection and that promise, the new promise of new life. On these 40 days of Lent, temptation and trials are right up front. Is there a difference between trials and temptations? Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? They're both related, honestly. And it's the same word in the Greek language for both. There is a difference, a slight difference, but it's there. Trials are things that we're familiar with. Trials come from without. There's something there. They typically come from something outside and beyond our control. And that's where we have a problem, because we need to be in control. It's one of my chief sins. I need to be in control. Outside of our experiences, it's things like like illness or accidents, the loss of a job, natural disasters that come, death. Those are all the things that are easily recognizable as the bad moments in our lives that we encounter on our journey of faith. They come from without. Trials make us feel out of control, and because we will sometimes look to pin the blame on somebody, anybody, even God, trials can pull us down. Now, temptations are a little different. Temptations are the lure of pleasures that lead us into evil. Someone once said that temptation is Satan looking through the keyhole, yielding is opening the door and inviting him in. Does God tempt us? Does God put in our path temptations to see if we will follow? I heard somebody say, no. No. That's not God's thing. He's not going to lead us into temptation, even though we pray that prayer that way. There's more. In Luther's Small Catechism, he writes about that petition in the Lord's Prayer. Luther says, God tempts no one to sin. Book of James says that. No one is tempted to sin. Luther says, but we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. I don't believe that God brings temptations into our lives. But temptations are a part of living in this world that is still not redeemed. They're all around. Temptations in this world are all around us every day. And when we take a long look at ourselves, into our hearts, we're alarmed by all the places, all the times we give into temptation, because we think ourselves to be good. We think of ourselves to be honest and knowing, and so often we deceive ourselves, because facing a temptation is not easy. We're disturbed by those temptations. They bother us. They keep us up at night. They keep us from doing what the right is and choosing the wrong. You look closely inside, and all of us have it. Anger and jealousy, envy, worry, pride, bitterness, an addiction of some kind or another. These are the desires, the things that will lure us into doing what God would have us not. When this happens, when our relationship with God is broken, we have a word for that. We call it sin. Sin is, technically, the word means missing the mark. You pulled your bow, you aimed at the bullseye, and you missed the mark. Interesting that God puts his bow in the heavens. He hangs it up and says, never again. There's a story, there's a character that comes back to mind. Do you remember, for some of us who are of a certain age, we might remember Flip Wilson and his character, Geraldine, and her catchphrase was, somebody did it really well over there. You know what? Devil can't make us do anything. He has no power. Sin is taken care of pretty well by ourselves. There's a story one time that Satan appears before God in the heavenly courts, and he's frustrated, and he says, Almighty God, I am so bored. I go around doing nothing all day. There is not a stitch of work for me to do. I can't understand you, God says. Why don't you try to lead people into sin? You got to show more initiative. That's your job. Lead people into sin. The devil mutters, well, Lord, even before I get a chance to say a blessed word to anyone, they've already gone and sinned. All around us are things like that. Our choices to do it all alone, without our whole heart loving God, without our whole heart loving our neighbors as ourselves. Things from without and things from within, deep inside of us. God does not tempt anyone to sin. And the prayer Jesus taught, lead us not into temptation, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that God is up there waiting for us to pass a test, to see how well we're going to do. That's not the nature of God in Christ Jesus. We pray these words because we pray God will deliver us from powers that rage against God and against us. This is a once upon a time story. You know what a once upon a time story is? It's probably something that never happened. But in the end, there's a moral to the story, and we need to pay attention. So here's the story. Once upon a time, a king had but one child, his daughter, and she was as beautiful within as she was beautiful without. And she had many suitors. People came, men came, and they really hoped to marry the princess, but she was uncertain because she wasn't sure if they wanted to marry her because of love above all things, or it was because these guys could have a nice place to stay in the palace, or that when she became queen, they would be king. She had a hard time. She wanted to know what was in the heart. And so she came up with a test. Any man who came, rich, poor, didn't matter, who came was invited to enter into a race. And the winner would be the one the princess chose. Okay, so men came from all over the place. Princes and dukes and barons and barnkeepers and fishermen, they all came. Now, the king, generous as he is, was one of the most richest people in the entire world. And he had treasures that he had gathered from all over the world. And not wanting to have anybody go away disappointed, along the route of this race, he was going to lay some of his treasures. There would be gold and silver, there would be many things. The day of the race, all these fellows were real eager. If you wanted to, you could stop and pick up anything that was along the road where the king laid it. Just help yourself. So the day of the race comes, bang, everybody runs. And someone sees over here, there's a whole pile of precious jewels. There's diamonds and rubies and emeralds. And so he stops and starts stuffing his pockets full of those. Another one runs and sees the gold and silver coins that have been gathered, a big heap of them, and he stops and he fills his pockets. There's trophy cups, there's knives and swords and all the good things that the king had accumulated, and everyone stopped to gather what was theirs, what they thought was theirs, except one person. He ran the race without stopping. He ran the race ignoring all that trinkets, all those trinkets. He ran the race and he finished. And he and the princess lived happily ever after. Because it's a once upon a time story, you gotta have that. Well, what's the moral of the story? Almost immediately, the runners chose what was tempting, riches of all kinds. But the real goal, the real goal was the end. That's how temptation works. There is a trial, perhaps, but temptation is looking all around at what could be without thinking of what will be. In God's grace, we can learn to avoid those temptations by God's grace if we have a single focus. Not the stuff around, but the single focus of running the race with Jesus, running for these 40 days, running with him to the cross, where we can lay all our sins, all of our troubles, all the places where we have failed with temptations and the places where we have given up because of trials, lay them before the feet of Jesus. There's a phrase, it's an old proverb about what life is like. We want sunshine. I mean, isn't that great? There's sun shining today. It makes you feel good, increases the vitamins in our system. And every day should be a sunny day. But all sunshine makes a desert. If you want growth, you have to have rain. Trials, tribulations, oh, they're going to come. But when the rain is past, make sure you look. Look up into heaven and see that sign of a rainbow that God says, I promise, when you run the race, look ahead and see the sign of the cross where God says, I promise life, I promise goodness, I promise salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
be seated. A brief reminder, if you haven't picked up your gleaner, which is the little thing that holds the coins or the dollars, they're in the narthex with a little sign explaining why they're called gleaners. And I want to thank Pastor Klaus for this perfect toss-up, because over in the corner is a bowl with on the crown of thorns on a black pedestal. What is this for? Well, it's to help us remember our baptism as we journey through Lent. There's little small slips of paper in the pew racks. You're invited.